One of the key parts of the prosecution's criminal case against Bill Cosby in Norristown this month was the reading of his own words from a deposition taken in 2005. Back then, the case was a civil case, but with the same allegations that Cosby drugged and sexually assaulted Andrea Constant in his Cheltenham home in 2004. That civil case was settled out of court for an undisclosed amount of money, and the deposition was sealed from the public. It was unsealed in 2015 after a nearly 10-year effort by the Associated Press. AP reporter Mary Claire Dale was part of that effort, and she joins us this morning to talk about the deposition's value and her work to unseal it. Good morning, Mary Claire.
Good morning.
I want to remind listeners that the Cosby criminal trial ended over the weekend with a hung jury. It's a mistrial. Still, charges against Cosby remain in place that he drugged and sexually assaulted Andrea Constant in 2004. And Montgomery County District Attorney Kevin Steele vows to retry the entertainer. Mary Claire, portions of the deposition Cosby made in 2005 were read in the criminal case in Norristown, which you covered for the Associated Press. How were his words used to support the Constant case?
They used the deposition toward the end of the case. Cosby elected ultimately not to take the stand. Constant had come on earlier in the trial, and then when the deposition came on, I believe it was Friday, the last day of the prosecution case, they used his own words from that deposition to reinforce just what he said happened between them. Of course, the key issue was consent, but in the deposition, Cosby discusses the fact that he had various sexual relationships with a string of women over the years, just mostly young women, and that in many instances, the sexual contact happened after he had given them pills or wine, or in the 70s, even Quaaludes. So this reinforced the notion that he had a history of, sexual contact with young women other than his wife, and secondly, that it often occurred after they were perhaps impaired by pills or wine.
And when you first saw the deposition, what did you deem newsworthy?
I think the big headline was Quaaludes from that deposition. He acknowledges that he had gotten 7 prescriptions for Quaaludes in the 70s from his doctor and said that the doctor knew he wasn't going to use them for himself, that he never took them, he never gave them to men, he always gave them to women, and at least in some instances used them, as he said, to give to people as they would have a drink, were his words, using it as a party drug. But he said he didn't like to take them because they would make him sleepy.
This deposition paved the way for the criminal trial, which we have just witnessed unfold in Norristown. The criminal trial probably would not have happened without it. How does it make you feel as a reporter unearthing something so important that drove this case forward?
Right. Well, it wasn't my intent that this would lead to a criminal trial. In December of 2014, when the Associated Press fought in federal court for the right to have the 2005 civil case documents unsealed, we were simply trying to add clarity to the conversation that was happening, where more and more women were coming out and saying Cosby had done something to them, and the Cosby camp was issuing repeated denials and saying that, they were off base. And really, there was this ongoing debate, and there wasn't much clarity to it. It was impossible to know who was telling the truth, and we remembered that in 2005 he had had to give a deposition in that case, and that was the only deposition that I was aware of that he had ever given on this subject, and we thought it would add to the, add to our understanding of who was telling the truth in this case.
What first drew you to the Cosby story?
Really, in 2005, obviously he was a bold-faced name. It was certainly not a huge case at that time. At that time, there was only one, one chief accuser. 13 other women came out right around that time, but we didn't know their names. And so, again, we weren't having conversations with these women. I think we had seen their statement. It wasn't certainly a huge case. It was a bold-faced name case. But 10 years later, when there was so much debate. By then, we'd had the Penn State sexual assault case with, multiple victims. I had covered the priest abuse case in Philadelphia where the archdiocese was accused of basically covering up complaints in locked vaults. And then I saw this as a parallel case where, again, it wasn't only about whatever Cosby had or hadn't done over the years, but the many people who had you know, from his agents at William Morris, et cetera, on down, who had, you know, contacted the accusers afterward in some cases to say, you know, would you like to go to school? What can we do to, you know, address whatever your concerns are? You know, there wasn't the same level of cover-up alleged in the Catholic Church, but there were some of those same elements.
And this has been very consuming for you over the years. Obviously, you're still on this, covering this case. What happens for Bill Cosby next? We have about 20 seconds.
Okay, obviously he'll be going to a retrial, but before then, the press hopes to get the names of the jurors to find out, you know, how they viewed the case, what the breakdown was, were people leaning toward conviction or acquittal.
Okay, very good. Mary Claire Dale reports for the Associated Press. Thanks for talking with us this morning.
Thank you.